Kathy Dawes again, along with Jürgen Richt, Regents Distinguished Professor, Kansas State University, Bill Felber, Consultant Public Relations. And I know before we move on to some other things, I know the conference that we were just talking about, you were mentioning, Bill, that, you know, and maybe Jürgen can jump in on this, but maybe list some of the locations where this conference has been held in the past, and that puts it all sort of in perspective.
Well, this is my first, so I'm going to defer on that, but I think it's major European cities that we're on a level with.
And Berlin, Germany, Cyprus, Israel. It was in France, Strasbourg, and in the Netherlands.
So you had a little so no wonder the hospitality was pretty crucial, I would think.
Yes, it took some arm wrestling, but we got it done, and we had good the important thing was also a lot of people from Kansas State attended the conference, which always helps if you have local support, and that was also very important for the success of this conference.
Also, BSL-4, apparently, workshop having to do with that, if you want to explain.
Mm-hmm. We had, before the International Conference on Emerging Zoonosis happened, we had a 1.5-day workshop on gap analysis on BSL-4 questions, which are still critical for the NBAF, for the NBAF facility. And what we did is we invited the BSL-4 labs in the world which work with agricultural animals. And these are three right now: Geelong, Australia, the German facility will start any day at the Friedrich Loeffler Institute up in the north, in the island of Reims, and then Winnipeg, Canada. These are the three BSL-4 facilities in the world which are able to work with livestock. Then we also invited other facilities around the world which work with BSL-4 agents. We had NIH people coming. We had other people from Germany coming. And so we had about 40, 50 people, small group, where we discussed various topics on BSL-4, what needs to be done in the future, what kind of research needs to be done at NBAF, if NBAF is commissioned and ready to go, which apparently is in 2023. And so we spent 1.5 days on these questions and got the experts in, and the experts gave a 15-20 minutes overview what they believe are the gaps in different areas: diagnostics, vaccinology, and workforce development. And one of very important question: how do we develop a workforce in a country which doesn't have experience with BSL-4 ag facilities? How can you develop a workforce? So we can learn a lot from the Germans, because they're in the same boat right now. And then after each of these different specialists, subject matter experts gave a 15-20 minute overview, we had a general discussion, and this is, as we speak, will be summarized, and it was sponsored by Department of Homeland Security, will be summarized, and the final report will be sent in the next couple month to Homeland Security.
We frequently have Marty Vanier on, of course. She is the MBAF Director of Partnership Development here locally, and all the detail involved in trying to get this thing put together. And it sounds like from your end, you're really working on all those little details too. Mm-hmm. So very crucial.
So she is more with what's happening mm-hmm. right now.
Right.
We were thinking more what's happening sure. in the future, what needs to be done when NBAF is working and the BSL-4 facility is commissioned, and what should Manhattan NBAF contribute to the research which needs to be done around the world, not only
exactly.
in this country.
Bill, again, fascinating work and preparations, and just so much involved, and I'm sure you're seeing some of those intricacies too and some of your help with this.
Well, it's going to take a while. The report is in the process of being written. We're not smart enough to figure out the solutions in one weekend. We can figure out some of the pathways we need to go through. And it's going to take a little bit longer and some big minds to pull together solutions on vaccinology, solutions on diagnostics, solutions on workforce development, and all those things.
And, you know, I would think the more that you get into it, the more you find needs to be done. Is it that kind of thing?
That's near as I can tell. Now, again, I'm going to apply dumbest guy in the room rule here, okay? I did go to it, but I'm going to defer on the specific contents to some of the brighter folks.
Although, you know, I can see why Bill is such an asset to you, Jürgen, because he does kind of bring the layman's perspective into what you're doing. And I think that is crucial when you're working on some of the things that you're working on right now.
I think this is very important that we communicate with the public why we do what we do. And if we don't do it as scientists, we don't have public support. And if we don't have public support, we don't have political support and so on. And that ends up with if you don't have political support, there's no money for the area you work in. And so it's very important to communicate with the public what you do.
And public support for science isn't an automatic thing right now. You can't assume it in the political climate. You have to work at it, and you have to make the case, and you have to make the case clearly, not just forcefully, but clearly.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, as Jürgen was mentioning, Australia, Germany, Winnipeg, those are the other areas where they've been doing some of this work, and it's a little bit new for the United States. I hadn't realized that exactly, but it does make a certain degree of sense. And I imagine you learn from each other. I mean, some of the things that maybe they've told you or warned you about, giving you some ideas of directions that we need to head.
Mm-hmm. You know, we number one, workforce development, it's 5 minutes to 12. We have to start as soon as possible to get people involved and trained in this area because time is, you know, ticking, the watch is ticking. So that these are the things. And then it's important to bring the people together who are the players in these areas, because then it's much easier to talk via phone or internet with email. If they don't know each other, it's much more complicated to start the conversation and ask easy or difficult questions. And that's another thing, to bring these different players together at one place, and so they know each other and hopefully get acquainted with each other.
Well, and it's interesting. Last time Marty was in, she talked some about the differences. And what I found fascinating, I was trying to look back at my interview with her. I don't know if it was certification or something, but you have to be certified in all these different areas. I mean, you can't just be – I mean, I think of you in very high regard, Jürgen, but you have to be certified in all these different things that you work with, individually even.
And you have to have an SOP written for a specific operation. What is it? SOP.
SOP.
SOP written for everything you do in these facilities. For how do you inactivate certain viruses? How do you shower out? How do you put your suits on, etc.? How do you disinfect things? Everything has to be written up very detailed, and this will be books and books of SOPs. Just to be written.
Just to give you an idea of the time scale involved, I may be wrong on this. I'm not an NBAF guy specifically, but I think the final brick and mortar goes in place in this thing about 2021. It doesn't open until 2023 or thereabouts. And that intervening 2 years, that's licensing. That's getting prepped.
That's commissioning.
And so it's a big, detailed process. They don't take it for granted.
And, you know, I guess we should expect, because the things that you're working on, and I don't know if we've gotten into those specifics necessarily. You mentioned, of course, work with animals. But what types of diseases are we talking about here, Jürgen?
You know, these are the – if we talk about BSL-4, these are the deadliest diseases which are known to mankind, and we don't have antidotes against. So no vaccines, no antivirals, and I just want to mention a couple. Ebola. You heard about Ebola outbreak 2 years ago in West Africa, and you heard about maybe Nipah, Hentra. These are the ones these people in NBAF will work on. And there is no experience in livestock yet in this country, and with USDA and DHS, the personnel at NBAF will be coming from United States Department of Agriculture, APHIS and ARS, as well as DHS. They don't have much experience working with these diseases. So there is still a long way to go to understand how to work with these agents, how to protect the personnel as well as the environment, that we don't have any issues with these working with these agents.
We could talk all day about this, no doubt about it. We only have about 4 minutes left, though, and I don't know if there's other things you're wanting to get into today, maybe current research you're involved in, or what else do you have
maybe
there?
Maybe just I want to mention the last 2 weeks we had a summer program for students. It's our CSAT summer programs where we introduce 10 students from around the nations which have interest in biocontainment work. And we had students from Florida, Ohio, New York, Washington State, around the nation. We introduced them together with the BRI folks to classroom and hands-on BSL 3 training at the BRI 1 week. So they get very intense hands-on training how to work in this environment. And then we have 3-4 days where we go for 1 day to Kansas City to visit 2-3 companies in the Kansas City Animal Health Corridor. And we visited SIVA and MRI Global. And so they get an impression what kind of companies are in the area. And then we have 2 days classroom settings where we bring specialists from around the world to Manhattan again, and they teach them in their areas of expertise. And we finish this 1.5 week, 2 week training with a mini symposium, which is open for the whole university, where some of these teachers or the professors which come in will talk about their research in more detail.
Bill?
And I just want to throw in one other thing that I'm really particularly proud of. We just gone online on our website, CZAD.org, with a current status report, Kathy, that we update weekly, that is a current listing of the situation of every zoonotic disease outbreak in the world. And I believe, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I believe it's the only such current status report available anywhere.
Boy, that is exciting to hear.
So
definitely.
If you want to find out where avian influenza is anywhere in the world right now, we've got it for you.
Wow. Half a minute left. Jürgen, any parting thoughts before you leave today? And I always feel like I could talk to you all day. We don't have that much time, but
we are coming back soon, I hope, and maybe talk more about science, what's going on in terms of scientific work we are doing and how we try to help and save animal and human lives.
And again, that work with the young people, too, had to be fascinating that you just mentioned, too, a different angle.
And what's interesting, not this year, but last year, one of the participants came to me and said, this morning I talked to my mom, and I told her as a young girl, I always dreamt to meet a rock star. But yesterday, I met a scientific rock star. And she was very excited about it, yes.
Oh, I imagine so. Well, thanks again to Dr. Jürgen Rick with us today, Regents Distinguished Professor, Kansas State University. Also, Bill Felber alongside Consultant Public Relations. Appreciate both of you stopping by. You've been listening to In Focus News Radio, KMAN.
Kathy, thank you much, and enjoy your next, week and a half away?
Yeah.
Lucky you. It's now 10 a.m. at KMAN. Good morning. Have a great weekend, everybody.
When it comes to shopping, there's no place like home. That's